started a new series, One by One. We're going to continue along that line today. James chapter 5, in verse 7, it says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of our Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." You know, this time of year, we know it as harvest. The farmers finish up harvesting their crops before the cold winter sets in. It's hard to believe that we're at the end of October already. But the Bible also speaks of a harvest time, a time where God will bring a harvest in from the earth. God has called you and I to be harvesters. Just like the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. You know, the farmer waits for the right season. You know, we're kind of towards the end of apple season, but you know, you don't go out and pick apples in late July. Why? Because they're not ready yet. They're small. They don't taste good. They're not ready yet. So the farmer, if he's wise, he will wait for the right moment to make sure that he can maximize the amount of fruit that he brings in from the harvest. So he's going to time it. He's going to pay attention. He's going to watch over the crops to make sure that they're at the right place before he harvests. Well, really, that's what this scripture is talking about. What is the Lord waiting for? The Lord is waiting for the precious fruits of the earth. And God, just like the farmer, he's waiting for the very right time, the time where he can gain the most maximum amount of fruit from the earth. How many of you believe God's a wise farmer? Amen. He knows exactly when he'll have the maximum harvest. So he is waiting for the precious fruits of the earth. 2 Peter says, 2 Peter chapter 3, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot or blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved Paul, brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you." The Bible says in 2 Peter here that the patience of the Lord, or the long suffering of the Lord, means salvation. Really, God is waiting. He is waiting for more people to repent, waiting for more people to get saved, giving men the opportunity to repent from their sin. You see, it is God's heart that no one miss out on the harvest. It is God's heart that no man should perish. God desires repentance rather than judgment. Verse 9 of 2 Peter, just go up a few verses there. It's, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God desires that all of mankind come into repentance, that everyone come to a knowledge of him. Christianity is not for not a small elite of elite group of people. Salvation is for everyone. Salvation is for everyone. The old, the young, the rich, the poor, the black, the white, all races. It's for everyone. God desires that all of mankind come to know him and receive salvation through him. John 10:28 tells us, "And I give them eternal life, that they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." God is a possessive God. He will hold on to you and keep you safe. It is part of his plan for your life. Not only that you receive salvation, but then come to know him and become his possession. That's the desire of God. You all know what John 3:16 says. Let's read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world, through him, might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of his only begotten Son. We can clearly see that it is God's plan for mankind. It is his divine will for mankind that all men be saved. And God is waiting patiently. Think about that a moment. Aren't you glad God's patient? Has God shown you patience? Was God patient with you? How many times did you not receive salvation when given the opportunity? And then sooner or later you finally received him as Lord and Savior. But I'm so glad that God was patient. I'm so glad that he waited until I repented. God is waiting patiently, trying to get men to repent and get right with him. Do you know what? God is not doing this alone. God is not doing this alone. We as the church, we as the body of Christ, we have a part to play. When Jesus, the head of the church, was getting ready to depart this earth, he gave some instructions to us. We find those over in Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." The Great Commission was given to the church by the head of the church, Jesus himself. Jesus left us in charge. We have the responsibility to tell people the good news of the gospel. We have to go out and do our part. Too many times when we hear that, we just kind of leave it as part of a sermon. Well, yeah, we have to go out and preach the gospel. We have to do our part. Yeah, that sounds real good and churchy. But it's meant to be personal. You have to go into all your world and preach the gospel. There are thousands of ways of preaching the gospel. It's not just handing out a tract. Well, that's one way. It's not just praying for people. That's another way. It's being a light, sharing what you believe is true, loving other people, sharing a scripture. Maybe the Lord will put something on your heart to specifically share with someone else. There are many, many ways of reaching people. And you don't have to think God is so narrow and so small that you have to do it a certain way. God can use anything. And he's proven that time and time again. Look at what it says here in Romans. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love that scripture. Whoever. Are you a whoever? How about people in your life? Are they a whoever? Yes. They shall call upon the name of the Lord and they shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. How can people believe in Christ unless they first hear it? You are that voice. You are that voice that will tell the world about Him. God has no other. When we think about people getting saved, when we think about people coming into the kingdom, when we think about people going to heaven, you and I have a vital part to play in that. While we don't save anyone personally, we give people the opportunity to meet our God. If you and I do not say something, who will? There is no other voice in the earth but the church. Well, you know, don't put that kind of pressure on me. God will send somebody. That's right, He will. And He already has. He sent you. Oh, I wish God would do some unsaved people in my life. I wish my family would get saved. I wish my neighbors would get saved. I wish my friends would get saved. I wish God would do something about it. He is. He's preparing you to say something. He's preparing you to pray for them. He's preparing you to invite them to church. He's preparing you to intercede on their behalf. God is doing something. The problem is you're not. We have a responsibility. The question is not if, but when. When will you go? When will you share? When will you pray? When will you be a doer? Not if, when. When are you going to go and preach the gospel? Go into all of your world. It doesn't take a whole lot. Just telling people that God loves them, telling people that you're praying for them, telling people that there's another way, asking people to, for prayer. It's not a difficult thing. Staying involved with people. It'll keep the gift of God on the inside of you stirred up. Staying around people that need God and being a light and a witness will keep that gift of God on the you, on the inside of you stirred up. Keep you motivated to win souls. Did you forget that this life is temporary? It's temporary. We are passing through. This is not our final destination. We are citizens of heaven. And there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And just as the Bible describes heaven in all of its glory with streets of gold and gates of pearl and brilliant light that surrounds the city, it also describes hell in all of its torment and darkness and gloominess. And whether people want to believe it or not, there is a heaven and there is a hell. There is a God and there is a devil. And that's not politically correct today in today's world. Well, don't talk about the devil. Don't talk about hell. That's negative. Don't talk about those things. It's truth. And there are people on their way to hell today. And you and I, we need to wake up and do something about it. We have to do our part. When you read the scriptures and you see that part in the scriptures where we will all give an account of our life, I don't want to have to stammer and stumble before the Lord. What did you do with your life? There's Billy Graham over there. You're not going to get in because of Billy Graham. God's going to hold you accountable for the things that you've done with your life or the things that you haven't done with your life. We all want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We don't want another Generation X or Y or Z. Where are the days where people fall on their knees and seek the Lord, and we see revival in the church, and we see the power of God demonstrated everywhere we go? Where is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost? Where are the gifts of the Spirit? Where is the power of God being unleashed? It comes from within us. It comes from within you. The Bible says that those that believe, they shall lay their hands upon the sick and they shall recover. That we'll speak in new tongues, and that we'll pick up serpents with our hands, and it won't have any effect on us. Where are those days? They're here. But you determine whether you're going to be a part of them. The responsibility is back on you. We talk about responsibility. Well, you know, I'm busy. I got a busy life. God understands. I love Him, but, you know, I just got too much stuff going. Doesn't that sound like everybody today? That's not going to cut it spiritually. We're not going to see the greater glory of God if we all act like that. We have got to stir ourselves up and remind ourselves of why we're here. Remind ourselves that God wants to use us, that we're the light, that we're the salt, that we're the voice in the earth, and that we have to do our part. We have to be doers of the word, not hearers only. You know the truth, and it's already made you free. Now take that truth and give it to someone else. There is need to preach the gospel to every generation, including this one. And there will be need to preach the gospel even after we're gone. Every generation, we must lift up our voice and let the good news of the gospel be heard. Again, good news. Not news of judgment, not bad news, not gloom and doom. Good news. God loves you. God doesn't condemn you. God wants to save you. God wants to deliver you. God wants to help you. God wants to show His love to you. Good news. We can't just sit back and roll off our spiritual responsibility. Well, pastor can do that, or the church leaders can do that. Oh, the prayer teams, they can do those kind. I just can't be bothered. We have got to move away from that. It's got to be personal. Even so, you know, we're doing this pie project this November. Well, I don't know if I want to bother with a pie. I don't know if I want to get involved with all that. Maybe I'll give a little money and that'll be good enough. No, it's not. Someone in your life needs you to pray for them. Someone in your life needs you to reach out to them. Someone in your life needs to go to heaven. And they won't go unless you do something. I remember when I was in Bible school, I'm sure I've shared this story with you before, but it impacted my life so much. I just want to tell you again. I was in pastor's lab class. It was in 1990 I was in Bible school. And the first Russian student had come over from Russia right after the fall of communism. And it was their first Russian student at the Bible school. And so it was during pastor's lab where we would practice our sermons on one another. And I remember this student got up and he preached his first sermon. And I tell you, it impacted my life. He got up and began to convey a story about his life, how he was saved right before the fall of communism, and he felt a call to preach. And his mother was a believer, but most of his family were unbelievers. And so he started working with orphanages over there in Russia, sharing the good news of the gospel, establishing orphanages for these young children. And so the story went that he was going to go out of town for business, and his mother had called him and told him that his grandfather had taken ill and had gone into the hospital. And he was just so busy serving the Lord. You know, he had to go on a plane and go to another town and do some things for the orphanage, and he had to do all these things. And so it was these kind of thoughts that he used to justify himself of why he couldn't take the time out to go see his grandfather, even though he knew in his heart he really should have. So he got on his plane and went to his destination, and he checked into his hotel room, and all of a sudden he just felt this urgency to get a hold of his grandfather, and he tried calling his mother but couldn't get her. So he took the first flight back, and he went to the hospital where his grandfather was. And he had came into the hospital, and his grandfather had already passed away. And with great heaviness in his heart, he knew that he had missed an opportunity for God to move because his grandfather was unsaved. And he conveyed this story with much emotion and much feeling. And he was pretty broken up about it and was very emotional in the hospital. And one of the nurses came by. She was a believer and knew that he was a believer, and came up to encourage him and said, well, perhaps, you know, someone got to him. Perhaps an angel appeared to him and he got saved. And he knew that this nurse was just trying to comfort him. But he turned around and took that nurse's hand and said, you know what? Thank you for those kind words, but I know that my grandfather did not get saved and that he is in hell today. Because God didn't commission angels to preach the gospel. He commissioned us. And I was disobedient. That's kind of a bitter pill to swallow. And certainly he asked God to forgive him. And, you know, there is the chance. No one knows the ultimate destination of every person because we don't know the heart. But he never had the assurance that his grandfather was saved because he missed those opportunities. We cannot leave people's spiritual destination up to chance and hope that some angel or something will get to them. God's plan is that you get to them. God's plan is that you get to them. And if you don't get to them, who will? God doesn't have a closet of people that he can pull out and say, well, you go get someone saved in their life. He uses people that are already in people's lives. Think about it a moment. Many of you are here today because you were around someone else that was saved in your life, almost without exception. I'm here today because of my mom and dad. Maybe you're here today because someone in your life, a friend, a relative, somebody in your life said, hey, do you want to meet Jesus? We can't leave that up to chance. There's nothing more unsettling. You know, over the past 21 years, I've been at the bedsides of people who have breathed their last breath. And thank God, for the most part, I knew in my heart with all of them that they were born again. And for some, you could just see the expectancy and the joy that was what was to await them. You could see the peace of God upon their life as they breathed their last breath. Some were hooping and hollering, trying to get there faster. Betty, you remember Betty? I'm ready! But I tell you, you don't want to go. You don't want to depart this earth without knowing. 100%. That Jesus is in your heart. It's the only way to get in. It's not about what you do. It's not about what you don't do. It's not about how good or bad you are, what kind of person. It's about who you know. What did the Bible say? For those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. That's the qualification. That's the qualification. I can't think of anything worse than knowing someone and wondering if they're in hell. And knowing that you had an opportunity to perhaps share the gospel with them and you didn't. What remorse. Let's look at Matthew, the 20th chapter. The Bible talks about redeeming the time and the hour, for the day is evil. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And when he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to the steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they received a denarius. And so the story goes on. This parable is likened to the kingdom of God. I think it's really a picture. I believe it's a picture of the church today. The vineyard is the kingdom of God. And all throughout history, God has had people tending to his harvest. Now it is the 11th hour. When you look at the church as a whole, the same gospel that Peter and Paul preached is the same gospel that we preach. It hasn't changed. It's the same word. It's the same message. And as those began before us, and now we at the end, the 11th hour, the workers are beginning to gather in the harvest and bring them into the barn. The owner of the vineyard is about to call his workers in. And the sun is about to set. Darkness is covering the land. The Bible clearly indicates that we are in the last of the last days. The prophecies about the days that we live in are like reading headlines. The Bible says that these days that we live in would be the greatest days of the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Joel said it this way. In the book of Joel, it says that it would be the former and the latter day rains upon the earth, meaning that there would be a strong flow of power of God in the last days. Many will come into the kingdom. There will be many salvations. But we have to be diligent with the things of God. We have to be diligent with the things of God. We have to do our part. We have a rich heritage in the Lord. We are part of that. It started with Jesus, and it's going to end with Jesus. And we're in the middle. We are here today because of the prayers and faithfulness of other laborers. You are sitting here today because others have labored for you. Others shared the gospel. Others prayed for you. We are not the full picture, but just a part. There might be many waves of God, but it's all the same water. We are commissioned to preach the gospel. We are commissioned to tell the world that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The same gospel that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and large numbers were added to the church is the same gospel that we preach. The same gospel that missionaries go into foreign lands with is the same gospel that you and I preach. It's a precious heritage. It's been handed down from generation to generation from generation. It is the church's family jewels. We need to go out and share the gospel with people. We need to go. And then we need to go. And then we need to go. And you don't have to pack your bags and move to China, unless God tells you to do that. You can go across the street. You can step through the door at work. You can have a family gathering and preach the gospel. Jesus is coming so soon. We must be diligent producing fruit in the vineyard. If you don't have a heart for people or a heart for the lost, or if you've grown cold or callous toward people, you need to get your heart right before God. Because this is the heartbeat of God. Souls. 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 It is the very heartbeat of God. Thank God that He'll answer prayers. Thank God He'll bless people. He'll heal people. He'll deliver people. He'll set people free. But the heartbeat of Him is souls. People. People. Souls. 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 That's what matters to Him the most. And we have to amplify that vision that He has. We have to give voice to it. That God doesn't want people to perish. Hell was not created for mankind. Hell was created for the devil and the fallen angels. God never intended for mankind to go to hell. But people have a choice. People can choose what they want. And many times people choose to go to hell because they don't know that God loves them. They don't know that God has forgiven them. They don't know that God cares about their life. Why? Because no one's sharing it with them. No one's convincing men that there is a loving Savior who cares about them. People sometimes don't believe because you and I are not doing our part in sharing the truth. Ask God to give you a burning desire, a new zeal, a new strength for the things of God. Ask God to refresh your heart towards people. That's my prayer for you this morning, that you'd refresh your heart towards people. Don't allow your heart to grow cold and callous toward the people that you're walking by every day. You walk by people every day who do not know God. And many of us, we just continue to walk with our blinders on because we're busy, because we're so wrapped up in our own little life. God is going to hold you accountable for that. You need to make up your mind that you're going to do something about it. You can start with one. You can start with one. Don't be overwhelmed by it. Don't be guilt-ridden by it. Don't be pressured by it. Just ask the Lord, who is it? Who is that one person that I can begin to pray for? Who is it that one person that I can maybe tell him God loves him or hug him or just show him? One person. One person. That's all it takes. One, begin somewhere. You know, if you're taking a destination, if you're going on a trip and you're going to reach your destination, you first have to take the first step. You have to do one step first. That's the way it is with God. God didn't tell you to go out and get 85,000 people saved in your lifetime. That would be wonderful if you did, but how about one? How about one? You'll never be the same again. You will never be the same again if you'll get someone saved. You'll get addicted to it. It'll be life-changing for you. Let's just bow our heads. I want to pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Father, we have heard your heartbeat is souls. Lord, let that become our heartbeat. Lord, let that go deep within our hearts, Lord. Let us have concern and care for those that are around us. Lord, not in a global sense, but in our local sense. Lord, people that are in our life, people that are in our family, people that are in our neighborhood, people in our circle of friends. Lord, help us. Help us, God. Help us to reach them. Help us to care about them. Help us not to be so wrapped up in our own busy life that we miss opportunity to share the gospel with others, that we miss opportunities to preach the good news. Father, we thank you this morning. Father, I pray that you just register on every person's heart at least one person, at least one person that they could begin to reach out to, one person that they could put on the top of their prayer list, one person that they could begin to love unconditionally, one person that they could maybe extend a hand of prayer to. Father, I pray that you just put that urgency in us. Lord, we recognize we are in the last days. Lord, you're coming back so soon. It's the 11th hour. You're calling your workers in. Darkness is covering the land. Father, help us to hold out the light in this late hour. Help us to hold out the light in this last days that we live in. Father, help us to win the lost. We pray for the harvest to come in. Lord, use us. Use us. Father, we thank you for salvations. We thank you for souls. We thank you for our neighbors, our friends, our relatives, God. We thank you, Lord, that even now you can move in their life. Even now you can move on their hearts. Lord, that you'd send laborers across their path. Lord, even us, that you'd send us. And that you'd put words in our mouth, Lord, that it would convict men of their sin and that their hearts would turn towards you. Lord, that they would, their eyes would be open to see that there's a Savior in heaven who loves them, that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. And Father, if there's anyone here in this room that is not completely sure of their salvation, Father, I pray that they make that commitment today. Father, if someone is here and doesn't know you, has never asked Jesus into their heart, Father, I pray that they would not leave this place this morning without that assurance. Lord, we don't guess where we're going to spend eternity. We know. We know. For those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we give you all the praise today, all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We want to remind you that after service, we have people here that can pray with you. If you've never invited Jesus into your heart, come up and let somebody pray with you. It'll be the best decision you ever make. Amen. Why don't you stand with us? We're going to go out with a song. God bless you. Wednesday night, we'll be here at 7. Also next Saturday morning at 9. God bless you. Have a great day.